Hello, hello, and welcome. Welcome once again to the Start, Scale, and Succeed podcast. It's the only podcast that grows with you through all seven stages of your journey as a founder. I'm your host, Scott Ritzheimer, and I want to talk to those of you, particularly all those founders in stage four. Yes, the disillusioned leaders who might actually be trying to fight the fight blindfolded, especially in the critical area of your financials. And what I mean by that is you're probably getting a P&L every month, hopefully, if it's on time. You probably have a dashboard or some spreadsheets or something, but all those spreadsheets that seem to work when you're smaller, they're now moving to a full-time job to maintain, and you don't know if you actually trust them. But you don't know what else to do. And so today, our guest has built his company to nearly $40 million, discovered the difference between founders who scale and founders who stall comes to whether or not they can really manage by their numbers. This is John Morris with us here today, who's the founder and CEO of Fiscal Advocate Inc., a technology-enabled professional services company powered by Engine BI software. John founded Rise Interactive in 2004 with $10,000, and over the next 16 years, he grew Rise, ultimately scaling it to nearly $40 million in revenue before selling the company. Inspired to help other entrepreneurs avoid the pitfalls he experienced, John created Fiscal Advocate to provide professional services to CEOs that give them the financial clarity they need to grow profitably. The company provides accounting, financial planning, analysis, and advisory services, along with proprietary software that surfaces critical financial insights. John, welcome to the show. Glad to have you here. I'm really excited to dive into this topic because it's one of the ones that I think creates some of the most insecurity and just weird stuff inside of a business, but also between the ears of the founder. And what I want to do is talk through for a founder in this stage, trying to grow, trying to make sense of what's going on, probably struggling with profitability, what are the numbers that they tend to look to, and what are the numbers that they should actually look to?
Yep. So you mentioned the income statement. The income statement has all the insights you really need if you have it organized the right way and know how to read it properly. So in every industry, there are benchmarks, and it's critical to learn the benchmarks of your industry. So I'm going to talk a lot about the professional service industry because that's my space and my domain. The best of the best, like in terms of performance, is 20% year-over-year revenue growth and 20% EBITDA is 20% profit. So that's just the starting point. Now, there's a whole bunch of numbers in between there, right? So you got revenue and you got profit, and then you have all these expenses. And so what you want to do is organize those expenses, and I'm going to give you the five major categories that I believe are really important. So the first one is your gross margin. It is amazing, but how many people I talk to have no idea what their gross margin is, or their income statement cannot tell you what their gross margin is? So I'm just going to explain it to everyone real quickly. I've probably put everyone to sleep already since we're talking about finance.
I actually want to pause you real quick because This isn't something to fall asleep. I love where you're going with this because one of the things that's so challenging for folks is that they're getting these statements and they've got like 100,000 lines on them.
Yep.
And no one can make sense of that. And so they see that and think, oh, I'm just not smart enough, or oh, I don't have an MBA, or oh, I don't. And it's like, no, that's not true. It should be this simple. Now there's nuance to it and there's deeper that you can go. But for folks listening, this is really important. You should have something like these five major categories. And I love exactly where you're going with it, John.
And just to take that a step further, and then you can drill down further.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll give you an example. One of the categories is your expenses as it relates to your back office. So I call it operations and finance. So, but then you can drill down further and you can see HR, legal, corporate IT, general admin, and finance. You can break down to five categories under that category. So the idea is that when you look at your income statement, you want it to be as few rows as possible because oftentimes that's just filling up the page with garbage. And so I couldn't agree with you more. So I'm going to start with the explanation of gross margin because this is honestly one of the most important numbers.
Yes.
It is after you deliver the product or the service that you've been hired for, how much money is left over and what is that as a percent of your revenue? So I'll use it in two different categories. The first one is you sell pencils. You sold a pencil for $2 and you bought it for 50 cents. So you have $1.50 after selling the pencil. $1.50 over $2 is 75%. So that means you have a 75% gross margin. In the world of services, you have hired employees to do work for the client. You've licensed technology. You might have travel. So when you take whatever your revenue is, minus all of your costs, so let's just say you're a $10 million company and you spend $6 million to deliver for the customers, you have $4 million left over. That means you have a 40% gross margin, $4 million divided by the $10 million in revenue.
Yeah.
Now, the reason why this number is so important before I get into the other ones is because if you can continually figure out how to improve your gross margin, it means you have more money left over to either put in your pocket or to invest in your business. And so that's metric number one in this middle. So you have revenue, then you have your cost of goods sold, and then you have your gross margin. So you have to have those three numbers. After that, you have what is called SG&A. And it's a very fancy term for all of your expenses that don't relate to the product or service that you sold. So your sales and marketing, your back office, operations and finance, your executive team, and R&D. Now, in every industry, there might be some nuances, but for 95% of your listeners,
yeah,
those are the four major categories you need. And those are the major drivers of your business. And then after that, you have your profit. So you take your gross margin or your gross profit minus all of your non-client or product-related expenses, and that gives you your profit. So that's the starting with the simple part. Now, as I mentioned, in each area, there is a benchmark. So I'll just give an example. In the professional service industry, 8% of your revenue goes towards sales and marketing. That means half the companies are spending less than 8% and half the companies are spending more than 8%. And so, as you mentioned, in my bio, I grew this company from $10,000 to almost $40 million in 16 years. Just knowing my gross margin as a percent of revenue and my sales and marketing as a percent of revenue and the benchmark gave me a major edge.
Yeah.
And here's why. I wanted to have a massive advantage in spending sales and marketing as a percent of revenue relative to my competition. So if I know that the average is 8%, I'm going to try to spend 16 to 20% of my revenue in sales and marketing. Now, clearly, if I'm a $35 million company and there is a $10 billion company, I'm probably going to be outspent in that area. Their marketing budget is just going to be much larger. But most of the people I was competing with were either my size or smaller. And so I was able to have the bigger booth at the trade shows. I was able to submit to more awards and get more recognition. I was able to have a team dedicated to search engine optimization. So that's, one big massive focus. Now, in order to do that, you have to figure out how do you fund this? And if you can fund it by improving your gross margin without reducing the quality of your work, I'll go back to the pencil example. You can't sell, a crappy pencil, that you bought for 5 cents as opposed to 50 cents. Still got to be the same quality. But you start thinking about, how do you deliver, it constantly improves. So we at Rise, we spent a lot of money on innovation. One of the things that we spent time on was we would time track every single task. And we would aggregate and be like, okay, so if we automate this, this is 1,000 hours worth of time every month that we don't have to have humans and pay for them to do it. We'll have technology do it. And then the other part is once you have technology do it, your error rate goes down. The client's experience becomes better. And so you actually get better retention and better gross margin both at the same time.
Hi there, this is Scott. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to get back to the show in just a few seconds, but first, I wanted to let you know about my brand new Founders Evolution Quiz. If you're a founder, business owner, or CEO who feels overworked by the business you lead and underwhelmed by the results you're getting, you're doing it wrong. Succeeding as a founder all comes down to doing the right one or two things for right now. So take the quiz today at founderquiz.com. Again, that's founderquiz.com. And in just 10 questions, you can figure out what stage you're in so you can focus on what's going to work and say goodbye to everything else. Now, back to the show. John, here's what I really like about that, because a lot of folks listening are highly, highly innovative. They're founders. They started the thing from nothing, created something out of it. Super cool. But so often we mistake innovation as kind of up and out. Like it's the next product or the next service or the next big thing or a new market or something like that. Yeah. And what you're talking about, especially at this stage, is the ability to harness some of that creativity and point it in as well and say, hey, how can we innovate to be more efficient? How can we innovate to lower our cost of goods sold? I really, really like that. It's a subtle shift, but it's an important one.
Yep. So what you're talking about is what I call the difference between innovation with a capital I and innovation with a lowercase I.
Yeah.
And I tell people to put a lot more emphasis on a lowercase I innovation, meaning we're not going to go invent the next iPad or the next self-driving car. You know, we are going to invent improved client onboarding. And
yeah,
so that's kind of the idea behind it.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So I really like, just to recap this, I really like this idea of simplifying the income statement, the P&L, down to those five big categories. And then you can drill down into the five categories within that. I think that's really important. I love the idea of focusing on gross margin and that small I innovation to drive it. So, so important at this stage. Before we get to it, there's a question I ask you. I was going to jump to it, but there's something that I think is really interesting. You talk about gray information.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if you could just describe that for us and tell us why it's such a big deal at this stage.
Yeah. If you think about every decision we make, we are taking gray information and making black or white decisions with typically black or white outcomes. So for example, you know, I want you to invest in sales and marketing. I want you to have an advantage relative to your competition that you're spending more in sales and marketing than they are for the company's exact same size years. But that doesn't mean you're going to spend the money well. You know, if generating leads was easy, we'd all not be complaining about how are we going to go generate our next lead. So, you know, you have to make a decision. Am I going to go invest in, you know, digital media and spend money on media? Or am I going to go hire a salesperson? Or am I going to go sponsor a booth? And so you have to make decisions on what you're spending your money on. And so that's my actually favorite part of business, is we all have to make decisions. We all have gray information, meaning we don't know what the outcome is going to be. But the outcome is generally black or white. Like your company is either growing every single year or it's flat or you're losing money. And so you can tell over time. I tell people the income statement is your boss, and it's a very objective boss because it will tell you if you're performing well or not.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And it's a hard thing to grapple with when you're used to just kind of like, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. You kind of get to control whether or not it was a success or not. Getting used to the space of really leaning into the numbers and looking at those black and white results can be a hard switch, but I think it's a really important one, especially when a founder's trying to orient a team in the right direction, right? When we're all trying to work together. John, there's a question that I have for you that I ask all my guests. I'm very interested to see what you'd have to say. But the question is this: what is the biggest secret that you wish wasn't a secret at all? What's that one thing you wish everybody watching or listening today knew?
So I'm going to give you two things as opposed to one. The first one is don't worry about the exit. Just build a great business. And the second thing is really focus on making it so that whatever product or service you're selling is actually better than the sales experience. So if you deliver something where, you know, because you're always going to put your best foot forward, and then someone gets the product or the service, like, holy crap, this is incredible. So much better than I even thought. you know you're on to building something special.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. And I love that you've shared that because it balances out. What we're not talking about is just cutting cost of goods sold by just cutting cost of goods sold. We're really looking at ways of providing a better service, a better product in a more affordable way for the company and everything that allows. So I love it. I love it. Now, John, there's some folks listening. Maybe they're in professional services. Maybe they're interested in, we haven't even talked about the role of software on all this, but that's a big part of what you do. Where can folks who are listening today find out more about you and the work that you do?
There are several places. First of all, you can follow me on LinkedIn. I post every week. So please connect or follow. You can go to fiscaladvocate.com. We have a great resource section there. And you can send me an email, jon@fiscaladvocate.com. I'd love to hear from you.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, John, thanks for being on the show. It really was a privilege and honor having you here with us today. I appreciate it. And for those of you watching and listening, you know that your time and attention mean the world to us. I hope you got as much out of this conversation as I know I did. And I cannot wait to see you next time. Take care. Scott Ritzheimer here. Thank you so much for listening to the Start, Scale, and Succeed podcast. I hope this episode gave you exactly what you need for your stage right now. If you want to discover what stage you're in, take our 10-question Founders Evolution quiz for free at founderskiz.com. That's founderskiz.com. It'll pinpoint exactly where you are and give you tailored tips to move forward and reach that next level in your journey as a founder. If you got something out of today's episode, would you do us a favor and share it on social media? Just grab a quick screenshot on your phone, text it to a friend, or post it on your favorite platform. Tag us and use #StartScaleSucceed. I'd love to see your posts. You can also head over to scalearchitects.com/podcast to check out more episodes tagged by your stage so you can focus on what matters most right now. Don't forget, subscribe, rate, review. It helps us to reach more founders like you, and it means a ton to me and my team. So let's keep starting, scaling, and succeeding together. I'll see you in the next episode.